Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 15th of June, recording at 9:38 p.m. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But first, let's have a quick review of the week. And in stock markets, well, we've seen further rallies here for the most part. And some of them have been quite brisk, including today, where we saw the a number of Asian stock markets higher on Wall Street's gains last night, and the European markets followed through fairly strongly today. Not least the Italian MIB up 2.34%, and Wall Street also closed with a gain of over 1%. That's near the highs of the day. Brazil up 1.36%. Long-dated government bond prices have sagged a little bit. In other words, yields have pushed up a bit. Today, the U.S. long-dated government bond futures are slightly higher. The dollar's been giving up ground against the background of the rally, as some of that safe haven money has come out. And we've got the dollar index that's subsided to 81.52. The Aussie's back above just below 101 against the greenback. And we have seen sterling. Interesting, because sterling had been weakening, but the 100 billion pound bailout, or not bailout, but capital put up to shore up the UK banking system against the background of the European crisis, has pushed sterling up to 157. And the euro has also rallied up to 126.50, which is interesting. A little bit of short covering there. Precious metals. Well, it's been a good day, a good week here for the most part. Now, gold, I think it must be up 7 days in a row. And that's taken at least six. And we've got bullion trading after hours here at 16:25. And silver up to 28.55, had been about 30 cents higher. Platinum has been firm, but gave up some gains today. Closed, had a sniff at the $1,500 level, and is currently at 14.82 and change. Palladium, which has also had a good week, but backed away from a high near 642, currently at 626 and change. Crude oil was mostly weak, quietly so, a little bit of a loss of downside momentum, but the WTI is just above 84, and the Brent, I think, is 104. Industrial metals a little bit steadier in here this week. Grain and bean complex mostly lower. Okay. So what's going on here overall? Well, everybody in the markets will know that there's a Greek election this weekend, and none of us knows exactly what will happen in terms of the outcome, but there is a growing consensus view that Greece is really on its way out of the euro, and whether it occurs quickly or more likely over the next few weeks and months remains to be seen. But as I say, we do have a consensus building towards that, and I'm not at all sure that that consensus is a contrary indicator. I think I might go with the consensus. Now, What we have certainly seen is a flurry of activity by central banks to pump liquidity into the system and to reassure investors that they're prepared for any eventuality, and what they mean really is if there's any sort of chaos that occurs following that Greek election result. Now, that has led to short covering in stock markets. It's led to some long buying, and again, some of that liquidity finds its way into equities, and that's been a major story. And the rally that we've seen, this month's technical rally in stock markets, has been sufficiently good to push a majority of stock markets back into the plus column for the year. Now, as we look down, as I look down the list, and using U.S. dollars here to measure the gains or losses, well, Wall Street is higher with 6.75% for the S&P and just over 10% for the leading NASDAQ. Canada slightly lower, Mexico slightly higher, Brazil still down almost 11%. The European markets have, not surprisingly, been weak. The major European markets are all down, with the exception of Germany, which is up 3.04% in U.S. dollars. In Asia, and this is interesting because we keep hearing about money flooding out of Asia in various articles, well, Japan is down on the year, but certainly not much. The Nikkei 225 is down less than 1% in U.S. dollars. Hong Kong, China, they're all higher. The China A shares, a lot of concern over China. They're up 3.81%. We've got the vast majority of these Asian markets. I'll just pick out the exceptions. Asia Pacific, Australia is down a fraction, 1.34%. And Indonesia, surprisingly, down 3.6%. Best gainer, the Philippines, up 17%, despite a down day here, quite a sharp down day here today. So, hardly end of the world there. And how significant is this rally? Well, I've been asking that question out loud, that rhetorical question of myself, and repeating it, as I say, because it's important. We can only guess. I don't know the definite answer to that, and I doubt anybody else does as well. I've said before that it's easier to call the bottom when we've had really climactic activity, panic selling. Think back to the crash in 2008, and that into October. That was ludicrously overextended. Then again last year. That September swan dive was very climactic. Now, some stock markets saw some climactic activity last month, but it's been a much smaller decline overall. I think it was 11% for the S&P, and I think it was about 14% for the NASDAQ. So, without the dramatic evidence of climactic selling, what I've been saying is that we were due for a technical rally. We're getting a technical rally. It's still intact. I don't see any evidence whatsoever that technical rally is over. If anything, markets are breaking up out of these little patterns. Now, if the demand is weak and it's mostly short covering and mostly completed, then we'll get a reality check next week. But so far, the performance has been orderly and reasonably impressive. And I think there is a chance that the lows actually are in. I've been saying that this week. And the reason for that As first, we're getting more accommodative monetary policy. We know that the global economy is synchronized in a period of slowdown, but that is increasing concerns, including, and not least, I should say, in the United States, and rightly so, because the economic data is really continuing to soften after some of the strength that we had seen earlier in the year. So basically, we have central banks lining up in a coordinated effort to support their economies, to support the global economy and their markets. And that's being reflected in equity prices. And then there's a very important factor, which I describe repeatedly, is the reset that we've seen in commodity prices. So that has reduced the inflationary pressures, commodity price inflation pressures at any rate, and makes it easier for central banks to be more accommodative. And then there's valuations. Valuations are not at historic lows, except if we compare them with bond yields. And some analysts are quite happy to do that. I'm a little bit more wary of that that comparison. But certainly, the comparison I've been using, particularly because I've often described Wall Street as being in a valuation contraction cycle over this, really since the about 1999, and with the blue chip so-called old economy stocks falling quite sharply, and then the tech bubble bursting in first quarter, end of first quarter, mid to mid 2000. Now, if we look at valuations today and then compare them with the valuations that we saw at these same levels last year, the valuations are lower today. And if we go back and look at them and compare them with what we were seeing in 2007 at these levels, valuations then were higher still. And if we go back earlier, you see that continued process. So although we've had the sideways ranging for the indices, we have seen valuations improve because earnings have improved, and a lot of companies have raised their dividends, some of them on an annual basis, making equities more attractive overall. So be wary when you hear that comment that, well, stock market hasn't gone anywhere, hasn't done a thing for you. First, they're measuring nominal prices of indices and not factoring in the yields. And what we know when we look through the lists, and Owen in particular has demonstrated over and over again, that the autonomies, which we like so much, and the dividend aristocrats, which we like so much, and some of those are one and the same, they have really, for the most part, done extremely well. So there have been plenty of opportunities to make money in this market, despite the fact that it has been choppy overall, and that there have been major concerns over what's taking place in the global economy, and not least in Europe. But the response to that, or the gloom that has generated, really, I think, is a contrary indicator here. And that flight of money into long-dated government bonds that we have seen, which caused some of those total return indices to accelerate over the last couple of months. That's scary, in my opinion. You can see those in the chart library, and I posted them earlier in the week. Posted about half of them earlier in the week. So what I'm saying here is that whatever happens to Greece, and well, I think we'll see in all probability if Greece goes a major effort to rally around, put up firewalls, etc., etc. But the problem with the whole European situation is that there's been a lack of effective leadership. It's very difficult to get 17 countries to sing from the same hymnal, and the move towards fiscal union is one that is proving difficult and going to take a long time. So this is going to fester, no doubt, for quite some time. But if the political will is there, I don't doubt that they can hold those European leaders can hold the euro together for better or worse. And I think certainly in the short term, that would probably be better, provided they come up with a bit more in the way of pro-growth policies. And I'm not convinced that's going to happen here, not when you see Hollande and France, newly elected prime minister there. One of the what's the first thing he does is lower the retirement age for public sector workers back to 60. Well, look at the Nigel Farage, UK Independent Party leader, video that I posted yesterday. He has some fairly strong words on the subject. Okay, moving on. We still like those. We still like those autonomies and dividend aristocrats, and I would give this rally the benefit of the doubt until or unless we see some crunching dynamics to bring it to a halt. Now, I have drawn parallels with last year and said, of course, we had a decent rally in June of 2011, and then it all began to unravel rather rapidly in July and August. If we see that on the charts, we'll know what it means. But at this stage, I would continue to give the upside the benefit of the doubt because, as I said at the beginning, I don't see any evidence that this technical rally is over. Okay, long-dated government bond prices, risky. QE in its various forms is helping to keep them. To keep them up, keep yields down, in other words. But I'm in the consensus that this is a very dangerous game and that those yields will back up over the medium to longer term, if not the short term. And when the turn comes, it's probably likely to be fairly rapid. Again, we'll see that on the charts. And watch for breaks in the progression of higher reaction lows on those total return charts. One of the most interesting stories today, right now, I think, is precious metals. We have seen this long corrective phase. We've seen sentiment deteriorate against that background. We've seen good steadying action over the last month in the region of previous lows. We've seen more commodities push up out of little trading ranges. Gold did that last week. Platinum did this yesterday. Silver's the laggard at the moment, but it looks reasonably steady, as does palladium. And I think this environment with low interest rates and increasingly accommodative monetary policy that actually suits the environment that supports the precious metals, and they are still performing a lot like risk assets, but you establish, well, as we see clear upward trends established, and those would be defined, of course, with higher reaction lows, and we would also need to see prices over the medium term and being the next few months break some of the progressions of lower rally highs that had occurred during the 8 to 9 months of prior correction that we saw. Once those new medium-term uptrends become apparent, then I wouldn't be at all surprised to see gold and other precious metals take on a safe haven status in people's minds. It's purely psychological, of course, but it is also logical that that is what will happen. And that's what we saw in 2011 until they became very overextended in the upside and peaked, and the rest you know. So in terms of the big picture, I think we are moving beyond the midpoint of this lengthy medium-term corrective phase for precious metals. So we're moving beyond the distribution phase, and we're now in the accumulation phase, and this is something I certainly want to participate in and am participating in. By the time it's obvious that precious metals have steadied, we'll have gold up above $1,800, and we will have missed a great deal of the rally. So that's why I've been nibbling in recent weeks, and that wasn't always profitable, but it certainly has been in the last 2 or 3 weeks. And my overall strategy here is that what I would prefer to do is to buy these precious metals, and I tend to do I do this through futures markets, not for everybody, and I wouldn't try to persuade anyone to go into futures markets. You can go out and buy a bullion fund if you wish to as an investor. I do the futures because I've always done some trading, and I use the spread bet facility because it's UK tax efficient. No capital gains tax in the UK with that. So what I my tactic I'm using in here, or prefer to use, is to buy on the dips and lighten a little bit on the rallies. And actually, I did that today. The silver that I bought yesterday, I took a I took the profit on that in here today, and just to so that I can do a little bit more counterpunching if we get any volatility early next week, which pulls some of these precious metals back. Of course, they could also continue to run to the upside, in which case I'll be scrambling to get back in. But I currently still have long positions in gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, and I'm very happy to have those. As for other commodities, well, I'm a bit wary. I'm mostly interested in them in terms of the implications for the global economy, and that's been good news, the reset in commodity prices that I talked about earlier. And the longer we go without seeing any significant upward pressure on the prices of crude oil, the better that will be for the global economy. Every time we get a strong run in crude oil prices, it undermines GDP growth. And we saw that in 2008 in a big way. We saw it last year, and we saw it earlier this year. So I'm grateful for that reset. We're still in a dangerous period here for crude oil prices. I've described this as the second of two difficult decades before the fracking becomes so widespread that we see a very significant overall increase in the production of unconventional oil and gas. And I maintain that we're on track to see that, and that energy prices, certainly the prices of crude oil, I expect will be lower in real terms in the next decade than they are in this decade. And on that note, I wish you all the best. Have a great weekend.